Robert, thanks so much for joining us today. Again, I know you've heard from a lot of people, but it's great to talk to you. Tell us a little bit about how this came about, and how this possibility arose, and whether or not you had any hesitation in accepting the offer.
Well, first off, I have to say, wow, what an introduction. That was one of the best ones I think I've ever had. But, you know, there's no hesitation. You know, racing is all I know how to do, and driving is all I want to do. So when Honda Acura Group proposed this as a potential option, quite a few months back, actually, it wasn't really in January. I was speaking with Aero Electronics, the title sponsor of the Aero Schmidt Peterson team. You know, thinking about how can I get back into an IndyCar and trying to figure out the best solution for hand controls and everything. And we thought that starting with something basic like a road car would be a great foundation. And one thing led to another. Honda loved the idea. I mean, as a driver, you know, I've actually never driven an NSX yet, which I'm very excited to do because, you know, it's a supercar. So you'd be stupid to say no. That's the way I looked at it. And then the fact that the Green Savory people, the promoters of the Honda New Toronto, giving me the opportunity to be a part of the parade lap before the start of the race is something really special, given last year in my first appearance at IndyCar at the Honda Indy Toronto, to get on the podium to finish third last year was probably honestly the highlight of my season. And, you know, for one calendar year later to still be a part of that event, I never thought was possible. And, you know, it goes to show what a bit of hard work can do, and, you know, having great people around you, what can be done.
Robert, you are doing an intense rehabilitation program in Colorado. How do you keep up your drive, your optimism, the grind on the days where it's really tough to do so?
To be honest, there's a lot of things. You know, it's watching the IndyCar races and watching my colleagues do what I love is a huge thing that's driving me to get back. You know, my will to the fact that I'm seeing improvement, I'm so grateful for, because a lot of spinal injuries, you can't get that much better depending on the severity of the spinal cord injury. You know, that's been driving me a lot, that I am so lucky to be getting feeling back, to be getting legs moving, to be getting any response from the nervous system is just truly remarkable. So I'm trying to utilize that the best I could. And, you know, and there's definitely those days where you're down and you don't feel like doing anything. And I just kind of think to, you know, what I want to do at my wedding coming up end of this September. And the plan is I want to try walk my then wife off the altar together and hopefully have a first dance together. And I think that's kind of what's driving me the most. You know, I think one thing that I've learned through this injury is that there's more to life than work. And, you know, and it took me nearly losing my life to realize that, because I would have done anything for racing, for my life. And I think now I got a new perspective on things, but they go hand in hand. If I can get my legs working enough to stand and to walk, you know, it'll make it even better getting back into a race car.
Well, first, congrats on the upcoming wedding, and thank you for sharing that news with us and our audience. One of the things that, you know, Robert, is rehab is intensely personal. It's intensely private. It can be very frustrating, as you just noted. You've decided to be public when it comes to your rehabilitation, yep. And I wanted to know just your thought process as to why.
The main thing that drove us to do it was when we tried to research what a T4 incomplete spinal injury looked like, we couldn't find anything. You know, and in terms of there's quite a bit on quadriplegics and how your life can be as a quadriplegic and everything like that. But as someone who wants to get better, there wasn't a whole lot on what that rehab looked like. And Carly and myself, we thought it would be a great idea to use our following to kind of raise awareness on what rehab looks like and what can be accomplished with hard work. And I think, you know, hopefully I don't give people a misperception, because I am getting things back, and spinal cord injuries are so independent and so different. You know, I've always explained it that either of you could have the same injury as me and do nothing and possibly recover faster than me. It's just the way the body heals. Yours might be better than mine. Mine might be better than yours, even though we have the same T4 injury on paper. So that's just the craziest thing with spinal cord is there's never enough awareness to it. And when this injury happened, we had no idea what rehab even looked like. We thought we were going to walk in or roll in, I guess, to rehab and just learn how to walk. And the fact is there's so much more, you know, 80% of it is personal care and basically life management before you even get into the walking aspect of things.
Yeah, Robert, I've always kind of felt that athletes in general, especially high-performance athletes, are probably at heart all optimists, because so much of sports is learning from failure and trying to get back at it. Were you always an optimistic person? And you know, how easy was it to get over, you know, the initial bitterness of what happened? I mean, I don't know, was there, I'll ask you, I mean, was there initial bitterness, or did you just think, hey, you know, I'm going to lick this, and here we go?
Of course. To be honest with you, there's still bitterness. There's still those days where, you know, I'll be honest with you, like just 2 days ago, I was crying because I couldn't do something that I really wanted to do. And it's mentally the most challenging thing I've ever, and hopefully will ever, have to do in my life. But, you know, I think I've always been an optimist, that's for sure. I mean, I think anyone who knows me would say the same thing. I've always aimed high, and I've always been a perfectionist. And, you know, I leave no stone unturned in my rehab, and I want to make sure, you know, I look at every little detail. In my racing career, one of my biggest attributes was that I had such an attention to detail look on everything, and I looked at every little piece to be perfect. And I've been kind of taking the same approach into this. You know, I've made sure my diet and my nutrition has been as best that it's ever been, because you need to fuel the body to get better. And, you know, and then hard work is just hard work as far as I'm concerned. So I've always been that, the way I am. But the biggest thing, sorry, there's a children's train just driving by, if you guys are wondering what that sound was.
Nice.
But, but no, I mean, there's for sure days where you have to be bitter. I think it's healthy to have that.
Do you find, because I know you've spent some time around the pits, you're with the team, do you still think like a driver when you watch the race? You know, I saw a couple of shots of you on the headset. Do you still think along with guys, with James or whoever, when you watch the race?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's great to be there and have a purpose again. You know, I think it would be really hard to go to the track just as a fan. Mm-hmm. And I can't thank Aeroschmidt Peterson enough for taking me in and still making me a member of their team and letting me give my two cents on any scenario that's given. But, you know, I love being a part of it. And I think where I actually fit in nicely with the team is I'm a good, I guess, third person or middleman between the drivers and the engineers, because when you're in that car, you're on your own island, and a driver might say something, what's happening, and you can kind of see on the look of their faces that they don't fully understand. And I try to connect the dots for them to try, you know, paint a clearer picture with more time and obviously less stress.
Robert, you mentioned hard work before. You grew up in Guelph. Your father repaired machinery in a factory. Your mom drove a school bus. You're not a kid of privilege by any means. And I wonder if you think in terms of your rehab, in terms of your dedication to this and drive, do you think that's a part of it? Do you think how you are approaching this is reflected upon how you grew up?
I mean, I think there's definitely something there. You know, nothing we've accomplished in our life as a family has come easily to us. And, you know, I mean, when I grew up racing carts, my parents gave up absolutely everything for me. And when I made the step to cars, you know, if I had a crash, my season was finished, and effectively my chance of a career was finished. So like that was always weighing in the back of my mind. And it made me the driver I am today. I think the fact that I am such a perfectionist and have such a attention to detail, it's because I had to look for every little thing, because maybe I didn't have the best equipment in karting growing up, or maybe I wasn't with the best race team. But you have to do with what you got and make the best of a not perfect situation, I guess. And I wouldn't want it any other way. You know, there's definitely times in my career where you kind of wanted that silver spoon, but I'm pretty fortunate to even have the opportunity, and even so, a family like I had that was willing to sacrifice what they did.
Hey, Robert, listen, we really appreciate you joining us. It's great to hear from you, and keep it going, man. And again, congratulations on what you've accomplished so far. Congratulations on your future wedding, and thanks so much.
Thank you, Robert.
Hey, no, thank you guys. And if you guys want to come to the track on Friday, Fan Friday, it's free admission. Just make a donation to Make-A-Wish, and you guys can come say hi to me.